join us for an encouraging word from the Dominion Teaching Team. Here's the message.
Wow. Every song we sang this morning had this word in it: freedom. Every song said this word: freedom. Some of you have yet to experience freedom in this house. And before I give the word the Lord gave me, Pastor Jabez prayed, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed." But does anybody know the second part of that prayer? That you would enlarge my territory. And as we were singing this morning, when there's freedom, there's an enlarging. Because you're no longer held captive by the bars of life. And you're being set free this morning. And when you move to the new building, Pastor, there's going to be an enlarging. And I kept hearing the Spirit say to me this morning that I've heard this cliche: new levels, new devils. That just means, really what that means is I wasn't prepared when I got to the new level because I didn't do what I was supposed to do at the... And what I've noticed here and what I've picked up on is that there is preparation that has taken place for the enlarging of the season. And what I want you to know is that the Lord wants you to know, as a church and as the pastor and the priest of this place — some of people don't get those terms, but you get it. You're the priest of this house, the shepherd we're going to talk about in a minute. But as the priest of this place, that there are no devils at the new level because they've already been defeated. And that the next level, you're going to begin to swing the sling. It's no cliche. You're going to swing the sling and the rocks are going to begin to fly and they're going to defeat the giants of the next level. So you're not preparing for the next, you're preparing already for two levels ahead. And the Lord wants you to know, church, is that your territory has enlarged. And as I look at your logo on the front of this pulpit, we talk about regional church, but God is fixing to create this place as a world ministry. I'm telling you, I feel it in my spirit very strong this morning. Pastor, it's a freshness. It's a river, but it's not like any other river that you've ever seen. And there are things that you have seen in history and the history of this church that you will never be able to refer to again because of this level that God is taking you to. It's like nothing that anybody has ever seen on this earth. You will do. And your wife will do. Church, get ready. It's coming. It's coming. But as we are going to prepare to receive the offering in just a few moments this morning, I did have the privilege of keeping your pastor on his knees. I taught him how to pray. But there were days that I would call the office and say, "Hey," in my little squeaky 12-year-old voice. I mean, you know what I'm talking about? "Hey!" I mean, a 7th and 8th graders are like a squirrel trying to cross the road. Have you ever seen them? Especially when they get in love. That was me. And this man had the privilege of pastoring this squirrel. Sometimes you feel like the squirrel and some like you feel like the nut that the squirrel is holding. You know what I'm saying? But there was something about him that has stuck with me all of these years. And I'm going to try to be as brief as I possibly can. But when the Lord's speaking, you have to go with it. I think sometimes we jump out of the vein of the prophetic just so that we can get in the vein of the pathetic because we're ready to go home. But I think we've got to stay in that vein until God is done with us. And there was something that I noticed about your pastor. And I see it, his fingerprint on this church very well. Number one, he dresses very beautiful. We used to call those pretty boys. The Italian stallion right here. Introducing the Italian stallion. But in Psalms 23, verse 1, we've all seen this scripture. Psalms 23, we've quoted it. If you've been from the Catholic Church, you've quoted this more than you want to even remember. But as I was in Kansas City this last week where it was 11 degrees every morning, bless God, I really thought hell had froze over. It was that cold. I really did. I mean, my pants were froze to my legs. It was just, anyway, it was bad. And I was sitting in International House of Prayer. I was at a training with FCA, and they take us there and say, you got 2 hours. Hear what God wants you to hear. Listen to God, because he's got something for you. And I was very privileged to sit in that prayer room and hear from the Lord that night. And I actually text your pastor. Yes, it's legal to text in church. Or tweet. Anyway. I text him some things that I was praying for in that time, and there were miracles going to take place. And in this scripture it says, the Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I lack. And I could get caught on that word shepherd, because the word shepherd, literally, you know, you go to when Jesus was teaching us to pray, and he said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What does the word hallow mean? It means to set apart. It's in his own category. Can I add one? It's undefeated. The Lord is my shepherd. And when I look at Pastor Greg, I see a shepherd. What does a shepherd do? It brings blessing. It speaks encouragement. It speaks discipline. See, a shepherd has a staff. And sometimes the shepherd will bring protection, Nova, and he'll take the hook of that staff and grab a hold of that sheep and pull that sheep out of harm's way. But then sometimes he turns that staff over. Whop! And some of us have been whopped by Pastor because of discipline. Others of us in this room maybe needed a little whop-whop. You know what I'm saying? Some of us just need a good old haunt. Never mind, I'm not even going to go there. But I want to ask you the question this morning. I have no lack because I know the shepherd. My question to you this morning is, where is your focus? Is your focus on the shepherd, or is your focus on the sheep? The other sheep. Because many times what happens with us in the church world is we get focused on the sheep and what they're doing, and things set in such as envy, deceit. Look at what they have. I wish I had that. And here's the bad part, is about the time I get it, we want to try to keep up with the Joneses, and the Joneses just refinance and go buy more. I mean, but we begin to look at the other sheep and we become envy, which leads to anger, and anger leads to murder. And here's the thing in the church, is that murder does not have to be pulled by a trigger or stabbed with a knife. Murder can be the tongue cutting somebody in two. And we can destroy each other and destroy the church, and nobody wants to walk back in, and they've got hurt and they've got pain because of the church, not because of the world. I heard my wife say many years ago, Pastor, that I was treated sometimes better in the world than I've been treated in the church. And I think it's so true. But we can focus on the sheep, or we can focus on the shepherd. Really quick, I'm coaching 5th and 6th grade basketball right now. We are absolutely having a great season. It is unbelievable. You ought to see these kids. I mean, we have not won a game yet. We're terrible. They texted me the other night. They said, hey, we almost won one. We got within 3 points. I'm like, yeah. I text back, awesome. I was so excited we didn't lose by 30 again. I looked up at the scoreboard one time. It was 31-1. I'm like, deliver me from this evil. I mean, it's like herding cats, man. But as I begin to teach some of those kids to bounce the basketball, and they're driving towards the goal, and the goal is to score. The goal is to put it into the basket. They begin to drive. They've got their head down watching the ball. And they're more concerned with the current than the future. They don't see the team. They don't see the goal. They just see where they are right now. And what happened with them is that as they're dribbling and they're watching the ball, look at this, your ball bouncing up and down. I'm doing that, okay? They're sitting there bouncing the ball up and down. What happens is the defender that is in the defensive position, have you noticed every sport puts us in this position? It's just crazy. Hey, football. Hey, golf. Hey, okay, it's always in this defensive position. And as they, I don't know where that came from. But as the defender, and he approaches the defender, he's more concerned with where he is now instead of where he's going, and the enemy comes and steals out from under him. That's where it's going. And he steals, and many times what happens, instead of having our focus on the future, we've got our focus on the present, which is the bills, which is the bankruptcy, which is the bondage. And the enemy is stealing from us, and he's swiping, and he's leaving us frustrated, and he's smearing the truth, and he's doing things inside of us that's not right. But see, God is saying this morning to us and to this church, is set your eyes on the shepherd. And literally what I saw as I begin to pray is that the shepherd is putting, he has extended that staff, and he is lifting the head of this church to get our focus on him. Our focus is to be on him, not on what we're facing right now. And as I notice your logo of moving forward, if we're going to move forward, we've got to get our focus on the shepherd. Quick story, and I'm done, and we'll take the offering. The church we attend in Texarkana is building a building right now. Shared this with you. And it's a $5 million project. It'll seat about 1,000 people, and that's including some children's areas and different things. They've been getting to raise money and do some different things, and, you know, typical capital campaign that you have to do for a church. They had a businessman within the community that had seen what this church had been doing within the community, reaching out, sharing Christ, loving on the homeless, doing all sorts of things in the community. He came and he said, hey, pastor, can I meet with you? And the pastor said yes, which is very unusual that a pastor would meet with someone that's not from his church. And he went and met with this businessman, and this businessman said, I have seen what you've done in this community and what this church has done, and here's what I want to do for you. And basically, not just you, but your church. From September 19th until December the 6th, whatever you raise within your congregation, I want to match it dollar for dollar up to $100,000. May I just tell you that that church raised $216,000 in 3 months, not including the extra $100,000 that he's going to throw in. You say, why do you tell us that? That's that church, to build your faith. That the resources are not going to just come from within here to move forward, but there are going to be people outside that are going to begin to pour in into this place. And there's about to be a shifting in the financial realm in this church. A shifting. How do you Get your eyes on the shepherd. In your finances, it's through giving. It's through giving. So we're going to do something a little bit different. I want everybody to stand this morning. Ushers, if you'll just line up across the front. You see, we come to the altar when we have a need. We come to the altar to worship, which I love that in this place. I text my wife the first night. I'm like, I can't wait for you to get here. This is awesome. This is the way we used to lead a church. And there's something about stepping out and doing something. Now, I want you to understand, Pastor does not have his phone up here. For us to, he's not going to stand back here and take record of who all's giving. Let me write that down. That's not what this is about. What this is about is that you taking a step of faith and coming and bringing your offering. There is something about stepping out and God meets our need. And so this morning, I'm going to pray a blessing over you. And I'm just going to ask you to step out. You say, well, that's just not comfortable. And, you know, listen, go to one of the guys over here in the corner if you're not so comfortable with it. We just want you to step out. There's power in stepping out. God's enlarging your territory. Let's pray. Father, I bless this house. I bless this house in the name of Jesus. Lord, those that are without a job this morning, we call in jobs for them. Lord, those that need a better job and desire a new job, I pray that you would bless them with a new job. Lord, the things that have been tied up in the courts, such as indebtedness, settlements, and estates, I pray they be released back to their wallets and bank accounts. Lord, what the enemy has taken and what they have lost or stolen will be restored double back to them. I proclaim increase upon this house. That, Lord, those that have a mind for inventions, God, that you would give them God ideas. Those that own their own businesses, blessings be so abundant that they can bless their employees with good pay and package benefits. Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that the stress of debt and the burden of debt be released off of this congregation right now. That the stress of debt, somebody needs to grab a hold of that promise, that the stress of debt and the burden of debt be released from this congregation. Dominion Church, I bless you in the name of Jesus. I bless you in the name of Jesus. Father, right now, bless this offering. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you come and just begin to give just in any of these buckets this morning?
Praise the Lord. God is good, isn't he? Wow. You know, I have found that God is good whether he's doing good things or not in the moment. His goodness is not predicated on what he does. He does good things because he's good. Amen? Praise the Lord. It is a joy to be here with you this morning. It's good to have some Mercy Gate folks in the house. It really, really is. I like home folk being here. It makes me a little nervous, though, to be honest, because the things I'll be telling you this morning, I wouldn't and haven't preached in my own church. It takes another outside voice to come in and say the things that I'm going to say this morning. But it's important that you understand the house that you're in. You need to understand the church that you're in. And the reason why it has great importance is if you understand the kind of house that you're in, you then begin to realize the access that that you have and what you have access to. Because there's great churches, there's great wonderful churches that promote the gospel of Jesus Christ and people get saved, but they stop short because they don't believe in divine healing. So you can't go to that house and get healing. So what you have to find is you have to find a wellspring where healing still flows, and healing still flows at Dominion Church. And so when you're sick in body, you've got to find a house like this house so that you can get well and you can be built up and divine healing can come. Are you with me this morning? And so if you have your Bible, I'll tell you to go there and just hold and wait, and we'll get there sooner or later, maybe. Amen. You doing good this morning? Praise the Lord. I am very well aware of the time, and I'm not going to keep you very, very long. Who here, give me at least 10 minutes this morning. Give me 10 minutes, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80. Woo, glory to God. We're into this an hour and a half already. Actually, I have a plane to catch tonight. Me and my wife are headed to Florida and jumping on a cruise ship this evening. So it's kind of a business cruise pleasure. It's a weird deal. But anyway, it's going to be good. Praise the Lord. Love being in this house. Good stuff. I was sharing with your pastor the other night. Whenever I get around your pastor and I get around Luke and them together, that's a lethal combination for anybody. And they just bring the weird stuff out of me, okay? They really do. And as I began to, I'd prepared this great little wonderful message to come over here. And I don't know why I do this. I did that last year, too. I prepared this great little message. I came over here, threw the whole thing through the wind right in the middle of worship, and God gave me something else that, to be honest with you, I had never preached before. I had never spoken publicly before on it. I just delivered it to this house. And it's the last time I've spoken of it. Also, the message I'm going to share with you today is really not a message. It's just a teaching and a talk, but it has a purpose. And I don't know that I'll share it in every place because not every house can handle what I'm about to share. Is that okay? I'm going to need you to put your big boy and your big girl britches on to be able to handle what I'm about to outload in this house today. Is that okay? It's important you understand the house that you're in. Your pastor, there's a reason why this church has been nomadic for so many years. And you could not settle in Kema. You could not settle in just Clear Lake. You could not settle in Webster. You're not settling just in League City. There's another move coming. You still may be in League City. I don't know the name of the city that you're going to be into, but it's for purpose. It wasn't that they were getting kicked out of hotels because the hotels didn't want them. God was saying that's not your roots. But what I do want you to do is to mark your territory and to mark your land. See, what you got to understand, the principles you don't learn in the wilderness will contaminate your promised land. Whenever you're walking through a wilderness, when you're ever in the middle of a journey, if you find yourself in a dry season and a dry time, don't gripe, don't moan, don't complain. Say, God, what is it you're wanting to teach me in this season and in this time? Because when I do enter into my promise, I don't want to take that with me into my promise, because your wilderness has the capacity to contaminate your promise. And so as Dominion Church, through its metamorphosis and what God has been doing in this house and what God has been doing through this house, He wants to establish you as a regional church, a regional ministry center. That's the reason why your pastor and I, why Mercy Gate and Dominion can flow, and there's several others, because in our culture today, God is raising up regional houses that have the ability to change the atmosphere over a region for the harvest. And we don't care where the harvest all runs into, because I promise you, in this region, there are 450,000 people. If 2,000 people today decided to get saved and 2,000 was added to every church, there's not a church in this region that could contain all the lost people if 2,000 entered into every church this morning. There is plenty of lost people. There are plenty of people that need to know Jesus. But there are houses and there are churches that began to pray, began to set an atmosphere that doesn't just change their house, but it changes the region so people can come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the kind of mandate that is on this house. Your pastor, we use terms and it, when we hang out and when others hang out, and I've heard them thrown around today, and for most people, they're just like, huh? What? You know, we use terms like the prophetic, and I agree, sometimes prophetic is pathetic or pathetic. I get them confused. And we use terms like apostolic and apostles and prophets and evangelists, pastors and teachers, and when you start hearing those words, sometimes it makes people itch and makes them nervous. But when you think of the word apostle, the word apostle means a man that is sent and a man that is sat. Sent and sat. In other words, and I truly believe this, a pastor, when I say your pastor is a pastor, but there is an apostolic mantle upon his life. He has been sent to Dominion Church. It was birthed out of his spirit in what God placed in him. He cannot just arbitrarily pick up and leave at his want and his whim. He cannot walk in here and just say, hey, I'm going to resign because bigger and better has offered me what looks to be brighter and greener. He and I do not get that luxury. When the fire gets hot, we don't get to run. Oh, and my God, I wish we could. This past summer, I went through one of the most difficult challenges I've ever been to. And right in the middle of it, a church in Georgia that ran 2,200 called me and said, we believe you're our next pastor. If you don't know you've been sent, you can definitely feel a release. Praise the Lord. I finally done come into what was mine. Hallelujah. I got all kinds of, new levels, new devils. Oh, I'm about to leave these devils and go find some others. Yes, Jesus. I'm on my way out. But when you know you've been sent, you don't even get that luxury. God don't even allow you to entertain the stinking thought. I'm like, God, I'd like to just go talk to him. Be a free trip to Georgia. God, I'd like to sit down with him. God says, no, you're not. Don't even look twice. Tell him no and thank you, and I appreciate it, but I'm where you want me. Please. And then when you call them, you tell them no, they want to start telling you what they do and what they offer and where they're going. And I'm just like, the devil is a lie. I don't know where I'm going. But when you know you've been sent, you also know I have an assignment. And when the scripture says this, it's speaking about Jesus. It says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 1, and seeing the multitudes, he went into a mountain. As he was set, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth. He taught them, saying, it says in Luke chapter 4, I believe it is, it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach gospel. And it goes all the way down through those verses. And then it says, and after reading, he closed the book, and he sat down. Now, the word in Matthew 5, verse 1, when Jesus was sat, it means he took a rightful position. He took a rightful place, and he began to speak. See, your pastor, because he is a sent man and he is a sat man, he can get up here in this platform and he can speak to you some of the things that he just said to you this morning that would have got most pastors voted out. They would have started a petition before the service was over, especially at Mercy Gate, I promise. They had done that. And who does he think he is? We were here before he showed up. We'll be here when he's gone. Been told that once, twice actually. But a pastor that understands that he's been sent and he is sat will get up and speak to you the things you really don't want to hear but that you need to hear. Because he is God's man for the set house, for what God wants to do in this region. See, you've got to quit thinking local. When I went to Mont Belvieu, that church's name was Mont Belvieu Assembly of God Church. The Lord spoke to me, said, I'm going to make this a regional house. And one morning, I walked to the pulpit just to put God to the test. I said, if you're here this morning and you do not live in Mont Belvieu, but this is your home church, would you please stand to your feet? 80% of the congregation stood up. In our church, we represent 15 different cities. God spoke to me while I was standing there, and I said, isn't it good to have all these guests from all these other towns and cities here? Would you make them feel welcome, Mont Belvieu? 20% of the people are sitting down, Lord. So that day I changed the name. In my heart and my spirit, it took me 18 months to get it to the rest of the people. But in my spirit, I said, God, this church will no longer be Mont Belvieu Assembly of God because we do not represent Mont Belvieu. We represent the kingdom of God in a region. And so, Lord, what do you want to name the house? And the Lord spoke to my wife. And she came up after that service. She said, I know the new name for the church. I said, what is it? She says, it's Mercy Gate. I said, where'd you get that? She goes, I don't know. We went to Israel 6 months later. We're headed to the Eastern Gate, which is also known as the Sheep Gate. But in Israel today, they call it the Mercy Gate. It'll be the place where Jesus, when he returns back to the earth, he will walk through again, through the Mercy Gate. And my prayer is, God, walk through the doors of Mercy Gate every time we gather. Your prayers are to be, God, walk through the doors of Dominion Church and outside of the four walls into the city, into the region, God, because God desires for this house to be a regional house because God has put a set man, a sent man, and a sat man in this place. Are you with me? So what does that look like, and what does that, because if you understand what it looks like, that means that's something you can have access to. Number one, you will always have more vision than provision. In other words, your pastor will always have more vision than you will ever have money to fulfill. Money chases vision. It's not the other way around. And I know it makes every economist nervous that doesn't think with kingdom principles. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you be foolish. I'm not saying you be dumb. The word wisdom is used over 1,000 times in Scripture. So you've got to have wisdom and use wisdom. But your pastor will never run out of vision. Matter of fact, his vision is not just for a limited time and a limited scope. I know a lot of people, they want Jesus to come back today because they got this escape parachute mentality, Christianity. My God, we're barely going to make it through. If someone pull the ripcord and God get us out of here. So basically what we're saying is we want 6 billion people to go to hell while a few of us can get out. That's not my cry. My cry is, God, would you tarry at least another 100 years? Because, God, I want vision for 100 years out to see generation after generation after generation grow and know the things of God. Your pastor has that kind of vision. See, that's important because if you walk into a house of vision and a house of revelation, it can begin to expand the vision for your home. for your business, for your personal life. You can say, if it's possible in that house, it's possible at my house. Are you with me? If there's a place of strategy, government, rank, and order. I love watching church, and I love the Jericho March people, the shout people, the holler people. I dig all those people. And it depends on the wind. I may be in there with some of those people. But as you have all that, there is an order. There is a strategy. God is moving, and he's orchestrating, and he's ordering those things. It will be a house of prophetic expression. You say, Pastor Don, what does that mean? It means where there's sound preaching and teaching that allows for the exploration that moves into the realm of revelation, knowledge, and insight. See, your pastor has the ability to get up and speak like a prophet. He has the ability to reach out and throw a net like an evangelist and see people saved. He has the ability to be married to the church like a pastor is married to the church. But at the same time, he could come up and teach. Very articulate, very eloquent. Could come up here and teach line upon line, precept upon precept, the word of God. I liken the apostolic gift to like the thumb. Because it has the ability to touch every other gift. It can be a prophet. It can be an evangelist. It can be a pastor. It can be a teacher. At any given called moment, even within the flow of a service, he can come up and speak as a prophet. Turn around and give an altar call like an evangelist. Have something break out and stand up and teach and articulate what just happened. I promise you, not everybody can do that. Not everybody has that ability. Not everybody has God gifted to be able to do that. If certain things broke out in their church, they would be the first ones to head for the fire exit. They wouldn't know what to do. And that's not a bad thing. It's just not their gifting. It's not their calling. But it is on this house. And so that's important, and that's valuable to you, because whatever you need in the house, it is in the house. If you need a prophetic directed word, it can be found in the house. If your life seems like it's in chaos, there can find order in the house. Are you with me? It is a house marked by stable families, where family-centered values are taught and practiced. You know something about family that is a healthy family? There's laughter. There's joy. There's fun. Amen? Me and my boys have a lot of fun. Corey, my youngest, is off at school. And Trey goes to school and still lives with us. I hate that Corey's off at school. I like Corey being home because we hang out, we laugh, we have fun. I mean, they get me laughing over things that nobody else can get me laughing about. I just love hanging out with my boys. Can I tell you something? That's what church ought to be like. When you come together, this ought to be family. Now, can we get real about family? We all have a few uncles and aunts that we're like, We're related, but they're from that side of the family. I know they're in the family tree somewhere, but they're that little fork that went awry. But they're still a family. Are you with me? It might be the person you're sitting to this morning. That's the reason you can't say nothing. You can't move. You can't even wiggle. But, you know, if just blink at me. I see those eyes. Glory to God. I knew I was talking to the right people. But can I tell you something? They're still family. And God entrusts his family to this family. Can I tell you something? He died for all of humanity. When God begins to bless a regional house, you don't get to be picky on the fish that you catch. You don't get to fish with lures and poles. You're fishing with nets. And when you throw the net in the water, you don't get to selectively choose the fish you catch. You don't all keep them all. But when you catch, you don't get that choice. And so when God brings fish into this boat, into this house, he wants to know, these are my kids. How are you going to treat my kids? They may not come in and look like you, act like you, talk like you. They may not be from the same educational class that you are from or the same economical status that you are from. But God's going to ask the question, how are you going to? See, I messed up Mercy Gate because it was a cute little nice white church. Filled with nothing but crackers and honkies. That's it. Sorry. And now when you look out there on Sunday morning, it's a rainbow. And I got people come in, they got more ink on their body than in a ballpoint pen. I don't get it. But God brings them in. And they come up and they give you testimonies like, Pastor, I've been clean and sober for 26 days, and God gave me a job, and it was a good job, paying $27 an hour, and I've never been able to get a job. And you know what? I went and took the drug test, and I knew for the first time in my life I was going to pass the drug test. That is the church that Jesus died for. Those are the folks that God said, I want to bring them into this house. And will you love them and treat them just like family? That'll make you uncomfortable. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to go eat and hang out with everybody like that. But that means that you affirm them. You celebrate them. You encourage them. You love them. Because a regional house is not selective in who comes to their house. And I'm telling you what God is now making you to become. Are you hearing me? And I know change is a terrible thing because it stretches us in all the wrong places. We all like change if it's our idea. You know, my wife will change the living room furniture. I'm like, why? She said, I wanted to. I don't like this here. So get over it. I've been married to her almost 24 years. I've learned to get over it. It's a bad day when you walk in and you say, where's my recliner? And where is my 65-inch screen TV? She said, I gave them both away. I'm like, you did what? I said, yeah, I was left with stammering lips and stuttering tongue. You did what? She goes, yeah, I didn't look good in this room anymore, so I just got rid of it. Okay. I see men in this place right now. They're leaning over telling their wives, don't you get no crazy ideas. That was not a prophetic word, and I just want to clarify even right now. But you know what? Because we're family, she had that right to bring about change. That's her house. Are you all right? Mama can bring change in a house that nobody else can bring. So if Pastor Dina comes in and says, we're going to change this and we're going to change that, it might be your favorite thing. It might be your recliner. And none of the first service got this, so I don't even know why I'm on here. But I'm here, and so I'm going to do jump rope on this nerve for just a few moments. Because I do feel the Lord in this. that when she comes in and she said, this has now got to change and this has now got to be released. Oh, that may make me feel uncomfortable, but it's not about my comfort. It is about our elevation and what God is doing. And so if mama demands some things in the house to be changed, you know what happens at our house? It gets changed. I recently just went through 18 months of tribulation, purgatory, and testing. My sister-in-law moved in with us. And one night, I heard noise that we do not hear in my home. There's no fighting, screaming, yelling in my home. Now, we fight, don't get me wrong, but we don't scream and yell. My house is a sanctuary of peace. I get yelling in other places of my life, and my house is not going to be one of them. And so that's just our ground rules. I grew up in a home where yelling, he who yelled the loudest won the fight. And so I decided I'm not going to live under that as a husband, as a daddy, so we just don't. And one night I hear this noise that is not customary in my home. And I come flying out of my bedroom. And my wife is in the kitchen facing me, and her sister is here facing the other way with her back toward me. And she's laying in, screaming and yelling at my wife. The devil is a lie. And I'm making it was pretty. The spirit of choke and slap is coming all over me. And undoubtedly, my wife's eyes left my sister-in-law and looked at me. And she was doing this. And my sister-in-law caught it, and she turned around, and it was like, oh, crud. And I walked up to her. I'm like, what are you doing? What are you doing? We don't yell in my house. And let me help you. It's not even my house. It's not my boy's house. It's not your house for sure. It's her house. And she don't have yelling at her in her house. I said, so you got two choices. Shut up or get your junk and go sleep in your car. Now I'm going back to the peace and tranquility of my bedroom. Work out y'all's disagreements at a lower tone. See, because sometimes what happens is we turn off the children by the parents fighting in the house. And when mama sets order in the house, it doesn't matter if you like the order or not. You line up because you're part of the family of God in Dominion's house. Are you with me? I got to hurry. A regional house is characterized by prayer. A house filled with intercessors. With teaching about the purpose of prayer. Giving helps and opportunity for prayer. This house will be marked by prayer. It will be marked by your intercessors. And can I tell you something? Intercessors are strange people. And you've got to give room, and you've got to give guidance, and you've got to give teaching for their weirdness. You need their weirdness. Hear me. But sometimes their weirdness needs to be in another room. Are you okay? Can I use that? I'm going to use my story. My intercessors were going a little ballistic on me over in Mont Bellevue. When I got to Mont Bellevue, we didn't have any fire, so I said, let's have wildfire. And you can have wildfire for a while, but then you've got to bring that fire and give it direction so that you have a controlled burn and you're just not getting everywhere. And so I was trying to communicate to my intercessors what I was wanting, and I got an idea. I think it was God's idea. I'm not sure. I think it was, though. But anybody remember X-Men, the movies, all the series of movies? I know we don't go to movies anymore, but I've heard this story about X-Men movies. In X-Men, I don't remember the guy's name. I think his name is Eric, but I'm really not sure. And he had eyes that whenever he took his glasses off, these rays went out and just destroyed everything. you know. And Xavier was teaching him. He said, listen, you've got to learn to control your rays so that when you take your glasses off, you don't just kill friendlies and the enemy and everything else and all kinds of stuff getting blown up. You've got to have laser precision. What was happening in our place is, in the middle of worship, the intercessors would take their glasses off, and man, everything's getting destroyed. Pow, 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 psh, through all of their demonstrations and all of their stuff. And the thing is, what most people want to do is, let's just throw the baby out with the bathwater. We don't want to have that. You got to have that. You need that in your house. If you're going to be a regional house, there's devils they're going to have to go after that you can't. There are territorial spirits, especially if I got 15 cities now I'm representing, and I'm not just representing a little bitty old Mont Bellevue that has a control spirit as its head. I've got 15 others I got to deal with. So I've got to have intercessors that understand strategy so that they can take their prayer and hit it with a target with such a laser beam and not kill everything else in sight and around. So therefore, you have to go to them and talk to them and say, listen, look, I don't need your weirdness right now. Take your weirdness and put it into a room. Can I tell you something? Let me help you, intercessors. If pastor comes to you and you're in deep travail, and one of the ushers come to you and they want to lead you into another room, and if it stops and if it interrupted your flow, it wasn't the Lord to begin with. Selah. If you have to wail only from the front row, it probably ain't the Lord. Hey, y'all remember the times and seasons in worship where we had the banner people and the streamer people? I hope y'all don't do that, but if y'all do, I'm about to mess you up too. I don't know why those people always had to find the front of the building to do that. Go to the back. If it was really about worship, or was it more about them being seen? It's just a question. I'm not drawing conclusions. I'm asking questions. It'll be a house marked with prayer. It'll be a house marked by prosperity and blessing. The word you spoke this morning, brother, was so, so true for this house. This will be a house that is marked by unique and uncharacteristic blessing and prosperity. Hear me. It's where prosperity is not only taught, but where it is seen and it is demonstrated. Can I tell you something? The difference between poverty and prosperity is not how much. There are people that have a lot of money, but because they have a poverty spirit, they spend everything they have. Prosperity is having more than enough. Whatever your realm of enough is. That's why you can't look at the sheep. You got to look at the provider. You got to look at the shepherd. It'll be a place of bold faith where faith takes preeminence and faith goes into new territories and it takes new ground. That is this kind of place. It's the kind of faith that says when you get to the Jordan River that you're willing to go ahead and take a step and get into the river even though all the odds look like it's against you. You can speak to the river. You can prophesy the river. You can spit at the river. You can yell. You can scream. You can do whatever you want to. But you've got to have the bold kind of faith to take a step into your future. If you don't, you'll just always stand at the banks and talk about how wonderful tomorrow's going to be. Woo, it ain't going to be great when we get over there. It ain't going to be wonderful when we get down the road. No, no, no. Wonderful starts now. Faith starts now. The Bible says now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Not tomorrow faith, not yesterday faith. It says now faith is the substance of things hoped for. You need a now faith that's willing to say, I'll take a step. See, because in this house is marked by faith. Because it's a regional house. That's why whenever your faith is low, you come to the house and you can get filled up. You can get strengthened. You can get built up. And can I tell you something? It's not by accident. It's not by happenstance. God has marked this house with a gift of faith. is a place where healing, miracles, deliverance, missions, praise, and worship takes place. It is a place where the gifts of the Spirit and spiritual gifts are practiced and released. It's here where the next generation of leaders are invested in. They are matured. They are grown. They are groomed even from children's ministry through youth ministry. In a regional house, business entities are blessed. Hear me. It's where businesses are blessed and the entrepreneurial spirit is released in the house. Some of you walked into this place today, and to be honest with you, all you are is one idea away from being a millionaire. You don't need somebody. You don't need a bank to like you. You need an idea. Because an idea has the ability to open favor. And when you're in an atmosphere like Dominion Church, where it is saturated with the presence of God, if sometimes you'll just be still and know that He's God, He will deposit an idea into your heart and your spirit. Because this house needs kings and queens. Because the assignment that is up on the house, it cannot be financed through pauper mentality. It's got to be financed by kings and queens, Nehemiah. The wall doesn't get built without the king bankrolling the whole thing. I can get a Pentecostal church quiet in a heartbeat. Start talking about money. We already took up an offering. We're not going to take up another one, even though Pastor Greg's known for taking up a half a dozen of them through a service. But can I tell you something? That's the call on his life. That's the anointing on his life. Where release takes place. I told you to turn to Matthew chapter 8, didn't I? Let me close with this. There was a reason for my madness. Matthew chapter 8, verse 18. When Jesus saw a great multitude about him, he gave a command to depart to the other side. You're moving to your other side. When he says to move forward, you're moving forward to your other side. Into the things that God has been preparing for you for a long time. You are now beginning to walk into them. And he says this, a certain scribe came and said to him, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Another of his disciples said to him, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead." I want to deal with foxes have holes, birds have nests, the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. This has nothing to do with Jesus being homeless. I've heard people preach that and they're so wrong. I want to get up and throw something at them. What Jesus is saying is, here is a scribe. He says, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you want me to go. Whatever you want me to do, I will do it." And Jesus says, "Really? Will you do it without title? Will you do it without position? Will you do it without notoriety? And will you do it without fame?" He said, "Because what I'm looking for is just like the foxes have their holes and their place that they rule and that they reign and they have dominion, and where new people or new little foxes are born, and where birds have their nest, it is their territory, it is their region, it is their area of influence, it is their area of impact, it is the place where things are grown and groomed. I have nowhere yet to lay my headship upon, my authority upon, my power on, my dominion upon." And that's what God wants to do with Dominion Church. He wants to make you such a regional house that he can lay the full weight of his headship, his kingship, his authority. A church that doesn't just know him as Savior, but you know him as King and you know him as Lord. We were singing that song in the first service, and that one line, it was talking about my Savior King. Oh, my God, I wanted to just come unglued because of the power, yet the dichotomy between those two words. That he's not just my suffering Savior that gave me a get-out-of-hell-free card, but he is my King, and he is the King of all kings, and he is the Lord of all lords, and there is none like him, and I am his son, and you are a son, and you are a daughter, and you're a joint heir with Christ, and you're saying, God, allow your headship and your kingship to rest upon me, because I'll know you as Savior and I'll demonstrate your kingship in my life. See, because it's in that place then the wellsprings begin to come forth. The wellsprings of healing, the wellsprings of miracles, the wellsprings of deliverance, the wellsprings of praise, and the wellsprings of worship, the wellsprings of freedom, the wellsprings of revelation, knowledge of who God is and who you are in God. That's when those things begin to erupt in our hearts, in our spirit, when we come together. And it's not by accident. It's because you are in a regional house, and God wants to reach beyond your little borders. And he's going to use you to do it. You're the loaf of bread that he wants to break, and he wants to serve. I finish with this thought, and I'm going to turn it back over to Pastor after I pray for you. I've thought about the miracle of the loaves and fishes many times. And I always thought he broke the bread, and he broke the fish. They distributed it and got 12 baskets of leftovers. And then one day the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he said, I didn't break the bread. And I didn't break the fish. I said, then what in the world did you do? He said, I broke the limitations that were on the bread. And I broke the limitations that were on the fish. And he said, and I'm about to break the limitations off of your life. Dominion Church. God is about to break the limitations of this church. Hear me. It's going to make you uncomfortable for a minute, but God's breaking the limitations off the house of bread. He's breaking the limitations off the bakery. He's breaking the limitations off the loaves. So if you walked in this place with limitations, you can know that you know that you know God is breaking the limitations off of my life. He's breaking the limitations off of my future. He's breaking the limitations off of my home and off of my family, because I've decided to come up under his kingship and up under his lordship. Let me pray for you. Father, we love you today. Thank you for your people. They've been so gracious and so patient. Father, I ask you today, establish your word concerning this house. God, that this week has not been just a pep rally, but Father God, this week has set some precedents in the heavens. Father, I thank you that even the council of heavens have taken notice of this weekend. Father, you have marked these days on the calendar of glory for Dominion Church. For Father, this weekend was a weekend they crossed over. God, I ask you even now, begin to establish them in this region like they have never known before. Other places will speak well of them. Other entities, businesses, governments, civil authorities. Father God, those that think they have rank and the ones that think they have position, God will even now begin to lift their voice over a church called Dominion. And God, what you're not only doing, but what you're establishing through this leadership, through this house, and through these people. God, we honor you. We honor this house. God, I honor this man and woman of God and their leadership team. And I pray the blessing of heaven rest upon them. God, kiss dominion with a greater element of your presence and break off every limitation in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the conclusion of the teaching. If you would like prayer, you can email us at prayerline@dominionchurch.org or call the church at 281-554-3600. Thanks for joining us.